Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this contest is scheduled for one fall with a 90-minute time limit. This is the Raw Impact Unleashed. Please welcome to the sanctuary at this time, at a combined weight of 420 pounds, they're your co-host for the evening, hailing from Northern California and known worldwide, it's K-Double, Black Lightning, your boy Cole, and White Thunder. They are the perfect storm. Get ready to unleash the Raw Impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all around the world, it's your boy Cole and K-Double. Get ready to have some trouble. This is your explicit warning. There may be vulgar violence and language and brief nudity. We don't know, but just in case, we're covering our asses. Alrighty then, enjoy the show.
Yo, Cole, yo, Cole, yo, Cole.
Yo, 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 yo. What up, man?
Not much, man. I want to start this episode out by saying a happy fucking Thanksgiving to you and a happy fucking Thanksgiving to all of our listeners and all of their families.
Yeah, happy fucking Thanksgiving back to you, motherfucker.
Oh, man. It's been a good one so far. Great relaxing day, you know. Got to check out some of that Madden and this football throughout the day. You know, you watching the Green Bay Packer game right now. So am I. Unfortunately, they're not in the lead, but they will finish the game in the lead. We know that.
Yeah. Shut up. Don't jinx my team, yo.
Anyway, if y'all listened in earlier this week, we did have a special episode that aired on Monday that you can go back to the archives and listen to. With one Mr. Tony Vargas. It was a great episode. Really got to know him and why he's in the business and what he does. You know, we got plenty more coming up, so keep listening in. You know, get to know some of your favorite independent wrestlers right here on the Raw Impact Unleashed.
We're going to be lining them up and knocking them down. Well, at least lining them up anyway.
We got a special interview for you on the YouTube series. You'll have to go check it out to find out who it is, and we also have some interviews coming up once we make the change over to the new site. So, guys, big things happen. Big things popping here at Four Aces. But, Cole, man,
As Chris Masters would say, we doing it big tonight, y'all. Oh.
But yeah, man, like, we didn't really – we got to talk a little bit, but we didn't really get to talk much actual Survivor Series or Raw on Monday night. No regrets, though. You know, like I said, great conversation with Tony. Or Mr. Vargas, whichever he prefers to be called.
I call him by his real name. The Machine.
The Machine, huh?
The Clean Machine. Now that he got a shave.
So, man. We all know, and we made a bunch of jokes about it, topping off last thing about Roman Reigns and all that, you know. And I sent that meme during the show about, you know, this really looking like they're giving him the Daniel Bryan treatment, and how I very much dislike that. But he gets his rematch. The first major match announced for TLC is the rematch in a TLC match. Really think that Reigns is gonna go over just a month later, that Sheamus held the belt for that long just to give it up a month later?
Man, I don't know. I don't think so. But you know, at this point, anything's possible. Everybody but the Divas champion right now is a heel. So,
pretty
I
much,
mean,
yeah.
I mean, when you look at all the belts that's on the main roster, you got Sheamus, your number one heel right now. You got Alberto Rio, your number one Mex-American heel with the U.S. with the Mex-America belt. You got KO, Kevin Owens, with the Intercontinental belt, and he's definitely a heel, even though he's a likable heel. And the New Day, which are kind of likable heels, too. They're still gimmicks. They stole their unicorn gimmick from Chemo from ECW. I'm going to put that out there. I'll probably say that every damn week.
just trying to let people know, man. Give people the real.
It's true, yeah. It's fucking true. And Cliffy is Chemo's unicorn's name. And
yeah.
We have had moments together. we was dancing, that's all. But yeah, like all the belts are heels, man. Besides Charlotte at this point. And so I don't know what's going to go on. I know that I seen tonight the main event on SmackDown where Dean Ambrose now the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. So they'll probably have that match at TLC also between him and Kevin Owens. But yeah, I think it's too full of heel champions right now.
Yeah. We need some faces thrown in there. Maybe a change in the IC belt over to Dean Ambrose would be good. No, I wouldn't mind seeing that. We've talked about a KO, you know, Dean Ambrose feud and how great that would be. And you know, I can say this, and not necessarily bitching about WWE, but they don't necessarily let the guys who are actually good on the mic get on the mic enough. You know, like Kevin Owens is decent on the mic. Friggin' Dean Ambrose is great on the mic. They really don't give them mics enough and let them. Remember back in the Attitude Era where you would have at least two or three, like 10, 20 minute segments of people cutting promos in the ring? And it actually was worth it. You know?
The show would open up with somebody coming out and, you know, giving you a good 15 minutes, give or take 15 to 20 minutes of just letting everybody know, doing the rundown. Kind of sort of how they did Cena for a long time. Cena was one of those that came out and, you know, had you know, 15 minutes or so. But, yeah, I love the match tonight, the main event match on SmackDown tonight, because Kevin Owens was on commentary. And I love when he comes out for commentary. And he seems to come out every time there's something to do with him in the future, he does the commentary. And it's great. You can't get any better than him sitting there talking with everybody because he agrees with like he'll be cool with Booker T, but then he'll shut down everybody else, Byron or whoever else is there. He'll shut them down and just like, I'm not even going to answer your question. You're just stupid. How you doing, Booker? You know.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, you're right, man. They don't talk enough. But what would be cool is if Roman Reigns won the belt.
Yeah.
And, of course, started, you know, a good feud with Sheamus and the Authority. And Dean Ambrose ends up winning against Kevin Owens and starts a great feud with Kevin Owens. And then you would have the two top baby faces right now, since Cena's gone for a minute, since Orton's gone, you know, plus those are your two homies. So having two homies holding, you know, two of the top prizes in the company would be a little awesome storyline that you could go and be like, all right, so, you know, Dean Ambrose can joke with Roman Reigns after he wins and be like, all right, you going to hold on to this one for a little bit?
You could actually have them go for the two-man power trip.
I'm not saying have them get it.
I'm saying like have them shoot for it, but then the same night that they go and shoot for the tag team titles, they lose the tag team titles, and then in the same night they drop their singles titles. You see what I'm saying? After like a 4 or 6 month run.
They ain't got to do that, man. They ain't got to be Pompeii. I mean, shit. They ain't got to lose everything all at once.
Okay, so they don't win the tag team titles. Roman loses his belt and Dean Ambrose keeps his. How about that?
I'm fine with that scenario. I'm cool with that one. But speaking of Orton, since I did bring him up this past week, some news came out after his shoulder surgery has healed up enough. He's got to have neck surgery. So we're looking for about a year or so till we even see Orton in the ring again, if we ever see him again in the ring.
Well, I'll say it like this, because if he goes for a full year, 2 years, or a year, year and a half, I think it'll be just long enough for people to forget exactly how sick and tired we've gotten of him over the past 3 to 4 years. And I think he'll get a positive reaction when he finally comes back.
Well, he got a great reaction when he turned babyface. He turned from you know, doing the authority's bidding and being Rollins' lackey, basically. When he did that, when he started doing his own thing, people started liking him again. So, I mean, you know, time will do the same thing. You know, everybody gets a great pop when they first come out. I mean, even look at Del Rio when he first came out. He got a big pop. So, I mean, you know, time does that to every superstar that's been around. Even old school superstars that show up. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they have the Hall of Fame, because, you know, these are people that you might see on the indies occasionally, but you're not seeing them, you know, weekly, all the time. So when they do show up or come back, it's, you know, an exciting moment, a great moment. Not only for the wrestler to be back, but for you to be able to appreciate the wrestler's talent. So the time will do the same effect of a heel change or a face change. But then again, I mean, if you look at it, he's having, like, I think his fourth shoulder surgery. Mistaken, I think it's his fourth. Not on the same shoulder. He's had both shoulders done a couple of times now, I think. And now he's having a neck surgery right after a shoulder surgery. I mean, you got to look at it in the way of, am I going to be able to pick up my kids, you know? Am I going to be able to, you know, play around with and he's got a new family now. So, I mean, he's got to look at the personal life, you know, and his health, you know, first. Well,
I'll say this. I hope to God he does, but you also know how gung-ho some of these guys can be.
Oh, I know.
You know,
I honestly
hope he does, but,
I know exactly how it is. I know how hard it is for people to, you know, step away from the business. But sometimes you got to do what's best for your health, man, and you know, it's kind of like Daniel Bryan. He wants to get back in there and everything, but the doctor still ain't fully cleared him yet. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they got to protect their investments, their wrestlers, their talent.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, like I said, I think what needs to happen at this point is if you put the belt around Sheamus's waist, how about we give Cesaro a shot at that? How about we give Cesaro a shot at a feud? Yeah, I know Roman Reigns is gonna currently be feuding with him and currently be fighting for the belt, but why not have Cesaro somewhere enter into all of this and then eventually end up challenging for the belt either against Reigns or Sheamus?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Cesaro deserves a shot at the top spot. I can't deny that at all. I believe he hurt his arm. Shit, what match was it? I forgot which match it was that he hurt his arm in, but it was one of the qualifying matches for the championship. So he's kind of... he's a little sidelined now. I don't know if he's if his bicep is it was just strained or what. I don't know the whole story behind that injury, but he might be sidelined for just a little bit. I know he had a match after that. After the match, he hurt his arm in, and it was a very short match. I think it was with Goldust, actually. Or not Goldust, but Stardust.
Okay.
But I'm not sure on that. But it was a quick match, whatever it was. So he wasn't out there very long. It was maybe a 5-minute match, if that long. And then a lot of the websites started reporting on the injury in the previous match, and that's why this match was so short. So I don't know, you know, if it was a strain, a tear, or, you know, a significant injury or just being hurt. So that could sideline him for a little bit and move him out of that, you know, picture. But, you know, fully healthy and everything, yes, he deserves to be up in there. And, you know, even with the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt deserves, you know, some type of recognition, some type of, you know, shot, title, not necessarily the heavyweight championship at this point, but, you know,
something
like that. He deserves to be in that place also. But there's a lot of people that deserve the top spot. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, one of the hardest workers in the company, deserves to be in the top spot. Ryback deserves to be in the spot. I mean, as much as Ryback's progressed over, you know, the last year, he has, you know, earned his spot. So, I mean, we keep going down the list of people who deserve it. And should get it, but for some reason, you know, whether it's behind the scenes, one guy don't like you out of the 12 that have decisions. I mean, I know Vince has the final decision, but there's a board of directors. There's a table full of people. One of them don't like you, then that's it for you. Unfortunately. But yeah, man. They almost have. I won't say created, but they almost have the talent to basically match the Attitude Era. Almost. I'm not saying their talent is, you know, Attitude Era, you know, top quality, all that. I can't say that because, of course, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold, you know, Chris Jericho, Triple H, the New Age Outlaws, Shawn Michaels for most of it. There was a lot of great athletes and great talent there. They've almost sculpted the new WWE to that form.
Yeah.
But because it says Picasso on the bottom of the painting, don't mean it is a Picasso.
It's actually a Picasso, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, they still got to, you know, bring in some more indie guys, move up some NXT guys. You know, they're right now looking for their, you know, second or third wave of NXT people from the indies right now, to stock NXT for next year so they can bring up more guys and girls for the main roster, which will be even better for the main roster.
I was going to say, you have some good anchors in NXT, in Rhino and Finn Balor, people that say that right now they're not trying to come up to the main roster. They're trying to help these young guys develop and put on and keep NXT relevant. You know what I'm saying? And so with that being said, like, they have great anchors. So add some more talent around them. And yeah, you can create a factory of top wrestlers that just flow through NXT and into WWE, but yet you keep NXT relevant and a great show by having anchor guys that are great, like Finn Balor, like Rhino, etc., to be able to put on feuds with these new guys coming up and coming and actually teach them how to do things, I'll say the proper way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure Samoa Joe will be coming up pretty soon. Sami Zayn's been working in the Performance Center, getting back from, you know, his injury. So he'll probably, you know, pop up to Kevin Owens at some point on the main roster. I mean, the future is bright. It's just they got to put all pieces to the puzzle together and make that portrait. But now, the Usos are back, so the tag team division is starting to heat up again. You know, the Lucha Dragons are awesome.
Usos are back.
I can't really say nothing about Cody Rhodes and well, it's not even Cody Rhodes anymore. It's Stardust.
What are they called? The Cosmic Wasteland.
The Cosmic Wasteland with the Ascension. Yeah, I can't really say too much about them guys because they're just high spot type guys. Not Stardust himself, but, you know, pairing him with them kind of like, okay, why? And it's like Stardust has a crazy and outrageous personality, and then you got these two, you know, basically bouncers. that's what I think of the Ascension, two, you know, big powerhouse bouncers that don't say too much or nothing, and when they do talk, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, hopefully they'll get that together. What was I gonna say? Oh, one point I wanted to point out is the Jack Swagger Alberto Del Rio feud.
Yeah,
that's popped
finally
up. What I want to happen is Zeb Coulter do a flip flop, a switch, stabbing in the back of Del Rio, basically.
Yeah, and to go work with Jack Swagger again.
Yeah, and work with Swagger. Because, I mean, Del Rio needs a mic anyway. This is bullcrap that they're doing with him, having Zeb come out and talk to him. That, I mean, and everybody knows it. Everybody, you know, says it. You know, Del Rio can hold his own, so why would you have Zeb Coulter out there talking to him or talking for him? But I would like to see Zeb actually get up out of his little rotor scooter, his little hover round, and interfere a little bit, you know, and kind of turn coattail on Del Rio, and Swagger end up, you know, getting over on Del Rio for the belt. Swagger gets the belt. Zeb Coulter, you know, says, it was our plan all along and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Del Rio can come back and win the belt again.
Yeah.
You know, from Swagger easily. Good storyline, good program that those guys can put together. That's really what I want to see, but I don't think they'll do that. I think they're getting so much heat from the Mex America thing that they're going to continue to do that
for a while. See, here's another way that they could go with it that I could agree with not wanting to see, but I think it would just be a pretty slick way to pull it off, is to eventually, I don't know why or how you would get to this point, but eventually get to a point where the Mex America team, where the Mex America stable grows, and Jack Swagger becomes the American part of Mex America. Instead of Zeb Coulter representing it, you have an actual wrestler who can wrestle in the ring that represents the Mex America. Like, and I would love to see Jack Swagger take that role as the American in Mex America, because who better to be an All-American than the All-American? I can understand why people wouldn't want to see that, but also at the same time, I think it would be unique considering the history that especially the culture clash history that they've given to Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio, I think it would be rather interesting to see them attempt to work together for a while, for a little bit as a tag team, keeping the Mex America gimmick alive. But then at the end of the day, maybe at Royal Rumble, they split up, you know, going into a program that leads them to a WrestleMania match for the U.S. title.
And yeah, so, but the way they're going right now with the storyline is they're going to just be feuding it up.
I know, like it's interesting, to say the least.
So yeah, the best scenario I can see out of it is Zeb turning on Del Rio.
Yeah, and just basically saying that was the plan all along.
Yeah, and him being in the chair, I don't think he is immobile. I don't think he has to sit there the whole time. I believe he can walk. I would hope that you know that would be like the miracle moment to help the All American. He gets up and it's like, oh my God, it was a ruse the whole time, and blah blah blah. You know, it just adds a little bit more to the whole thing. Plus, I mean, Mex America, like I said, Mex America, that's just Mexico. Mexico is in America. We are the
Southern Americas, right?
Of America. They are Mexico of America. There's Canada of America. You know, back in the day, it used to be the United States of North America. Then we cut the North out, you know, because we were saying so many goddamn words. But yeah, it's like, fuck, man. Like, really? I'm going to bring this up probably every fucking show until they fucking stop that shit. Because fucking Mex America is goddamn fucking Mexico on its own. There is no United States
Mexican
involved in that.
And a proud
besides
American.
The title.
Hey, Cole, don't be sour. Well, it's Thanksgiving. Get the power of positivity.
I'm just thankful they ain't changed the title yet.
Oh,
to the Mex American title. So I'm like, all right, we ain't got no U.S. belt no more, but we got a Mexican belt. What's up with this?
Well, no, actually, Zeb Coulter made that announcement that they were changing it, but of course they're not going to change the actual look belt.
Well, I know they made the announcement that this title is no longer known as the United States title. It's known as the Mex American title. I know he made that announcement and all that, but yeah, I don't see him coming out with a split flag title and not having the United States title there. You know what I mean? And if they do, the first person that does it, they'll probably the first person that wins it, they'll probably end up coming out with a new design for the U.S. belt. If they have the Mex American belt come out and be like, oh, this is the Mex America, and then let's say Jack Swagger, per se, ends up winning the belt. He ends up throwing the belt down, you know, the Mex America belt down, and reveals the new United States design title. That would be a cool storyline, too, to the program that they're putting together. But yeah, man, Mex America. That's just Mexico. Don't know why Zeb Coulter
go,
has
Rogers, go.
And what's messed up about it? What's really messed up about it is the flag, right? They didn't want to. In my mind, they didn't want to disrespect Mexico and put the Mexican flag on the bottom part of.
So they put it on the top.
Well, you know what you did? You cut out all the stars of the 50 states. So what you're representing like 11 or 12 of the colonies with the stripes, right? The original colony of America. But not even the full 13 bars are on there. And not none of the states are represented. Cole gets their eagle and their snake and cactus and their colors. Like it's more of a Mexican flag than it is of an American flag.
Damn.
And not to you know push buttons or anything, but I think the way that they did it kind of cuts out a lot of the America part of that flag. You know what I mean?
Very true. No, very true.
If you do it the other way, you still get the three colors of Mexico, you know, the red, the white, and the green. And
yeah,
you'll get the cactus. And I believe you'll get some of the eagle and most of the snake. Like I didn't, like,
yeah,
put two flags together and just fold them up and triangles and try and put it out or anything. But that was just something that,
yeah,
was like, if it's America and you're trying to combine the states and Mexico together, why aren't you representing the states? Like, you're representing a few of the colonies, not even all of the colonies, because it cuts off the 13th bar. So it's only 12 bars on that flag. So I'm like, you're not even representing the United States, the American part, the America part that you're trying to, you know, say, even though, you know me, it's the,
yeah,
United States, not America. It's of America. But yeah, I was like, the flag itself, I mean, I can understand that, like, all right, we don't want to disrespect Mexico, you know, because we are, you know, the United States, so if we put ours on top, they're going to think that Mexico is below us and all this. Well, you know what? On a map, they are. So why not go ahead and fix the flag and actually represent both countries instead of part of something that happened a couple of hundred years ago, and then something that's born and living and alive today with the Mexico flag. It's just a perception of mine that I noticed. I was just like, wait a minute. There's 12 bars. There's no states represented. So I'm going to be, I'm what you call a hater at this point. I am hating on Makes America.
They took our jobs. No,
it ain't even about that, man. Fuck that. If they want to work, go ahead and work, man. Shit. Pay taxes. That's
shit.
All I had. Pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, shit, you done worked with enough of them, man.
I know.
Yeah.
But as long as people's paying taxes, I ain't got a problem with it, man. I ain't got a problem with anybody that wants to take anybody else's job. If you can do the job better, take the job. Pay your taxes, though. If you take the job and don't pay your taxes, you don't deserve the job.
It's very true.
Taxes help out our veterans and our country, our troops, and everything else. I don't care where you come from. Let's bring in the refugees. Let's get political right quick. Fuck Donald Trump.
Right. Huh?
We can bring refugees. We can give them jobs and all that. We're going to tax,
yeah,
the hell out of them. So that's, you know, that's the price of,
hey,
of admission to
hey,
the United States.
The WWE needs about 40 men between the ages of 20 and 30 that can get in there and job and play security guards and just travel with the WWE and just run out. It's the same dudes every time. They get beat down as refugees, and they can provide them with a place to live in the campers and travel with them and provide them enough money to eat, and it'll cost less than what it costs them to pay the independent guys to come over there and do it.
Yeah, but I'd rather the independent guys do it because they at least got ring experience and all that.
True,
and,
very true.
And they got a job experience. They got all on-the-job training. and plus, it is cheaper for the company. I mean, we don't want to turn into WCW and give everybody some guaranteed contracts around here and be like, all right, we got 40 new contracts we got to sign up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nah, let's not go that route. Let's not kill the company.
Why not?
But if those refugees want to learn how to be wrestlers and stuff, they can go to schools like the BW school and, you know, meet other camps and stuff around the United States. And then maybe when WWE comes to their town, they can get a job and pay their taxes.
But yeah, guys. Oh, one last thing before we let's talk a little bit about it before we go to commercial break here. You know, we are, guys, we've talked about it plenty of times. A couple weeks ago or last week, it feels like a couple weeks ago because we didn't already done. We did that show on Monday. It just throws me off. But last week we gave away the tickets to the BTW Halloween or not Halloween holiday. Now I'm BTW. Holiday
happy. Everybody going to WCW now, man. Everybody going to a WCW show this December.
On December 4th, that would be next Friday night. Guys, so support independent wrestling. Come get yourself some tickets. And, you know, maybe you'll be lucky enough to win some tickets to future shows here on the Raw Impact Unleashed. But just come to this show. Come have a ball. And you might even run into me and your boy Cole down there screaming and yelling and having a good time.
And I'm bringing my cane with me just in case I got to beat somebody up. I'm going to hit Matt Stryker in the back of the head with it when he walks past me.
You really don't like Matt Stryker, do you?
I'm just gonna tag him right quick, man, and then act like I'm walking away, you know, on the cane. I'm like, I don't know. Did you see that? That was like a drive-by caning. I don't know.
Oh man.
Nah, I'm just, I ain't got nothing against Matt Stryker. You know, he does a great job on Lucha Underground. Yeah. He was a good in-ring worker. And all that. It's just he talked over JR too much during that fucking TNA Japan crossover show. I wanted more JR than Matt Stryker. And Matt Stryker cut him off at every point, at every fucking turn. So I got a little beef with him. That's all, man. It's just, you know, just a single cheeseburger from McDonald's. That's all. It ain't a double cheeseburger or a package or a pound of beef. You know, it ain't a lot of beef. It's just a little bit of beef. Speaking of McDonald's burgers, they probably only got a little bit of beef in them anyway.
Yeah. That's a no shitter right there.
McDonald's ain't no damn sponsor, so I don't give a fuck. They start giving me some free French fries, I'll fucking say that's the best fucking beef in the world.
Yeah, that horse meat, you mean?
Yeah, whatever it is, donkey meat, whatever, man, you know. Shit. As long as it ain't that pink slime shit, I will approve.
Pink slime? What the fuck shit are you talking about, man?
You don't remember that? Like 2 years ago, man, it was like all your beef was like processed. All the processed ground beef had this pink slime that they mixed with so they could make more product. You don't remember that? Oh, you gotta Google that shit. Anybody that don't remember that, Google that shit. You will not eat non-organic beef again.
Ugh.
That's all I eat, man. I'm 100% organic. I eat organic chicken, free-range chicken, organic beef, grass-fed beef. It's really grass-fed beef. Not organic, but you know what I mean. It's on that same plane as organic. Fuck that. After I seen that, and I changed my whole diet. I started going to the gym more. I was like, I got to get this pink slime out of me. But yeah, it was like that shit from Ghostbusters, man. You know, in the bathtub when the tub fills up and then the tub.
The ectoplasm.
Yeah, man, it's that shit. But when you sing to it, it didn't dance or nothing.
That's Doug, man. That's Doug from fucking Nickelodeon right there, man. That's some childhood shit right there. Y'all don't know nothing about no fucking Doug, man.
Peter was my homie, man. Y'all can't call me racist because that motherfucker was purple. All right? That was my homie.
Friend, but yeah,
I said my imaginary friend was fucking purple.
No, man, okay. So they had the New Day do the 1 year, whatchamacallit, and of course Lucha comes out. Lucha.
With an open challenge. An open challenge.
Yeah.
You gotta mention the open challenge.
And then Lucha comes out, then the Usos come out, and then New Day tries to get the Usos and Lucha to fight, and then Lucha's like, fuck all that. We going to do this in a three-way style, and then New Day runs away.
Yeah, New Day said the open challenge is officially closed because
here's the thing about it. Oh, they've held the titles twice in the past year, because I know they haven't held it for a year straight.
Yeah.
I forgot who came in and took the belts from them for a little bit, but I know that they lost the belts for a little bit. I think it's getting to that point where, as much as I love New Day, New Day doesn't necessarily need the belt around their waist to make them, you know, productive, so to speak.
Right.
You know, they can pass on the belts to somebody else and still be relevant. And so I'm thinking it's time for some Uso action, some three-time world champion Usos, because the real reality of the situation is there are not that many deserving tag teams of not only title shots but title victories.
Right. I'm right there with you. Agree totally. 100%. And now that the Usos are back, they got hype. But the Lucha Dragons also got hype too, so that would be a great triple threat match to have at TLC. That would be a great match to actually book. Because it would be all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would just be so wild and crazy. You just have to book this match. And I think that kind of what they started with this, like, oh, we're going to give you a shot, and let's see who'll take the chance. And then they're like, oh, these little dudes come out, the Lucha Dragons come out. It's like, you know what, forget y'all. And then all of a sudden the Usos come out. So it's kind of setting up the three-way anyway, even though they didn't have it. It was kind of like, let's plant the seed and see how it grows.
Yeah.
You know. Check out everybody's, podcasts and whatnot and see who's talking about it. Let's check out the website, see who's talking about, if they really want to see this match. And I am in favor for it. I am in favor for a triple threat tag team match with the Usos, the Lucha Dragons, and the New Day. And, yes, mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. I believe the Usos deserve their three-time run. And I also think that the Lucha Dragons deserve a run.
Yeah.
So I mean, anybody that wants to really the belts from New Day, I'm cool with it, as long as it's not the Cosmic Wasteland, the Ascension. Them guys. As long as it's not them, I will be cool with it.
At this point, not to get too far off kayfabe, but. Like they, I don't think that the Ascension have earned, or that they're over enough, so to speak, with the crowd in order to deserve any type of championship shot or run right now. Like shit, Enzo and Amore are more over with the crowd down in NXT than the Ascension
are
up here.
But even being a heel, I mean, they don't even get that true heel boot. You know, it's like, oh, boo, not these damn guys again. And, the chant kind of stops. And
tell you, man, every time
I
see them, it makes me think about our 1980s promo time.
Right, exactly. Oh, my God, what'd you say? 1980s promo time. He's Black Lightning. I'm White Thunder. Together with a perfect storm. Look out, Mean Gene. It's getting cloudy.
There you go. Oh, man, I love 1980s for one more time. That's awesome. All right, so on that note, we'll take a commercial break, our first and only of the evening. We'll come back. We'll keep talking Survivor Series. Talk about where we think they may be going with TLC and some of the other belts and divisions within the WWE.
I'm sorry. I'm watching the Green Bay game.
Yeah, so am I. You're listening to the Raw Impact Unleashed.
On Blog Talk Radio for now, Four Aces present.
What's good with the planet Earth? And you are listening to NVT West, where the West Coast music lives. This is the Saint, and I want to go ahead and tell you about the original Now versus Then, where Generation X meets Generation X, hosted by two wonderful hosts every other Monday. On one Monday, you got Robin Baxter, poetically known as me, hosting. And then on the other Monday, you have the one and only Mother Metaphor. That's every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And y'all, just to let you know, once again, it's still from Generation X to Generation Next.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Planet Earth supposed to be the universe.
Good evening, folks. If you're listening to me, then that means you're already listening to West Coast Bias. But outside of West Coast Bias, the Four Aces Network has a plethora of shows. One of those shows, one of my favorites, is Now versus Then West, hosted by The Saint. That's every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the Four Aces Network, blogtalkradio.com. Frustration.
Fucking Cutler. Hope he sprains his ankle in the rain.
But they knocked at the door, but the Bears just played good enough defense to get the victory.
Man, it was pass for the Bears two plays in a row.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Look at it. He hit him. He hit him before he even motherfucking jumped. Twice. Fuck you, Bears.
Let it out, Cole. Let it out.
Fuck you, Die Bears.
Die Bears. Oh, man. As you see, I have an irate co-host due to the Chicago Bears, unfortunately, beating the Green Bay Packers to end the night of blowouts with an upset. So, but anyway, back to Survivor Series. Divas Division, I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that either Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks is the next to challenge Charlotte. As much as I love the Charlotte-Paige rivalry, I think they've taken it as far as they can take it. And I definitely think it's time for Charlotte to move on to a new contender for that Divas title.
Well, if you ain't heard, Becky Lynch is in Ireland right now.
Okay.
She's taking vacation.
What the fuck is she doing there?
She's taking vacation.
Nah, fuck vacation.
She at home. She in Dublin, Ireland right now, chilling, drinking up some whiskey, having some good old time. But yeah, when they did the European tour, she ended up going home for a few weeks. So she's kind of out of the picture right now.
Oh, that sucks. So hopefully Sasha Banks, man.
Well, I was hoping Paige was going to take it at fucking Survivor Series, but that shit didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you. I don't know. I was kind of happy with Charlotte retaining. Like, I'm okay. The more I see of her, I'm not necessarily okay with her promos. I think she's somebody that needs a manager. She definitely needs somebody to speak for her. There's probably a lot of people who wouldn't agree with that. But in my personal opinion, I think if Charlotte had a mouthpiece, Charlotte had somebody that could speak for her, I think she would be much better as a champion. I think she's one of those women that's big, that's very big and tall, so should she be better off just having somebody talk for her?
Yeah. I agree to an extent, but one of the last promos that she done, she ended up talking about a younger brother that ended up passing away. And you could tell that was a shoot, you know, that really got to her emotionally. You know, she put herself out there. So I got to give her props for doing that, and that just evolves her character, you know. So the more that she gets a chance to actually talk and get into that, you know, position of getting comfortable with it, the better. I mean, people think of Charlotte, they think of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you can't do that. I mean, yeah, you can, but you can't say, okay, Charlotte's going to be just as good as Ric Flair on the mic. There's no way. Ric Flair is a one of a kind. So I mean, with that comparison, she definitely needs somebody to talk for. But the more she has control over what she's saying, and the more feeling she puts into everything, the more believable it is, and the more character evolves, I think she's gonna do fine, you know, on the mic. And I've seen a glimpse of that in that promo, but she doesn't do that every time, you know. She can't you know, do that type of quality promo every single time, and that's where I see where you're saying that she needs somebody, you know, to kind of do the talking for her. Kind of like Tamina. Like, we know Tamina can talk and all that, but it's better if she stands there as, you know, the brawling babe instead of the talking and stuff, and letting Naomi or Sasha Banks, you know, do the mic thing, and just let her be that standing force. I do see that, you know, with Charlotte a little bit, but I also see the want to in Charlotte to actually get out there and try to do as good as her dad did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for anybody to get to a Ric Flair promo. Even as wild and as flamboyant and as crazy as they were back in the day, it still brought out emotion in you when he talked. Either you hated him or you wanted to be him. So Charlotte's got to find that niche, kind of away from the Flair legacy a little bit. I mean, she's always going to have that connection. There's no way around it. I mean, that's your blood. But she has to find her own niche, and hopefully develop that more. That's why I was upset with her coming up to the main roster so soon, because I didn't think she was ready for it. And I still think that she should be going to the Performance Center and hitting them promo sessions, you know. But I mean, you know, the duration the company is in right now, they want, and we don't know how long Flair is going to be around. I think he's going to live forever. I think he's already lived for like 2,878 years.
Of Ric Flair were in the pyramid time.
Yeah, they're trying to milk as much as they can out of, you know, the legend and the daughter, you know, thing. And I read somewhere that Ric Flair didn't appreciate the promo she cut talking about her brother's passing. Which is understandable. I mean, that's understandable. That was his son that she cut that promo on. or not owned, but talked about in the promo and all that. So, you know, that's a creative thing. And I also read that it was her idea. Then I also read that it was creative's idea. And you can always say no to things. Like, I'm not going to go there. I ain't going to do that. But it did show her range, you know, and emotion, real emotion. And that's what you need to do. You need to be real. You just need to step it up. Put, you know, you're real. Let's say your real life, you're always on a 4. Well, you got to turn that switch up to a 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what everybody would say. Jericho would say that. Stone Cold would say that. The Rock would say that. You know, Triple H would say that. All the greats say that. Dial up, you know, on what you truly are.
And the thing about it is that's effectively what was done during the Attitude Era that made it so special, is that a lot of these guys, 90% of them, what you were seeing, Stone Cold, Rock, Triple H, was just, like you said, an amped up version of who they already were in general. You know, so it wasn't very hard to stay, to be in character when the character that you're in is you. You know, like you said, just
right.
You amplify. You know, it makes it light. So the one part of getting over with the crowd, which is being authentic. Being authentic as a wrestler is one of the biggest things with getting over with the crowd. So the one thing of being authentic is automatically already dealt with by the fact that you're using that you amplified, theology when you go out there. And so I think somewhere around the way, around the late 90s, they started getting too scripted with it. They started trying to script too much of what these guys say in promos. And instead of making them use their brains to come up with the promos, they were writing promos for these guys. You know, not to say they weren't doing it during the Attitude Era, but they gave guys like The Rock and Stone Cold a lot more leeway and more of talking points than they did actually writing the whole promo for them.
Right, right. And I think... It was probably around 98, 99 when they started doing the trying to do the full scripts and scripting what the guys were saying and all this. I remember one behind the scenes cut of there was this guy, a script supervisor type guy that was standing there with The Rock, and The Rock was like, "I got it," and he's like, "Well, let me hear." And he's like, "Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to lay the smack down, your Rudy Poop candy ass, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to be, you know, WWE champion."
Yeah.
And then the guy looked at the page and looked at The Rock and said, "Once again." And The Rock was like, "I got it." And I was like, "No, Rock." He says, "You're going to be WWE champion once again." And The Rock was like, "Nah. That's why I cut it off. It ain't a once again thing. This is this time thing. We ain't talking about the past. We're talking about now."
Now, yeah.
And they didn't have that conversation because The Rock was like, I got it, and walked off from it. But I understood that the guy just read at the end of the script paragraph that I will be WWE champion or WWF champion at the time once again. Yeah. And when he said once again to The Rock, he didn't mean "I want to hear it once again." He meant that's what you end with. And The Rock was like, I got it, you know. And then they went into the promo, and when The Rock did the promo, he, you know, did WWE champion. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, you know, and all that. And there was no once again in there. And I think that was, it might have been 98, 99, around the time you said.
Around then, yeah.
But they got more scripted with it, you know, going into 2001 and 2, where everybody was coming off the script.
Yeah, and that's when a lot of Attitude Era fans really started tuning out. Because I'm sorry, it did show in the product that they were trying a little bit too hard and that these guys weren't necessarily being as natural and fluent. It's kind of like a kid. A kid can, if you talk to a kid can tell when you're genuine and when you're fake. You know, wrestling fans can too. You know, they can tell you're genuine. They can tell when you're fake.
And most of the top guys, they did their own thing in those times, but you had the new guys that came in around, you know, 2002 or so. Well, you know, Randy Orton, Batista, John Cena, a handful of other guys that you know, came in. You had the Mean Street Posse that came in at that time. Even the Spirit Squad at that time. And you could tell that all these guys had a script. They were scared to get off of the script. They, you know, it was like, you know, they were treading on thin ice. And you could tell it was a drier product than just going out there and cutting. And now that it's PG, I mean, they just fired Brad Maddox this past week. Yesterday, actually. For cutting a promo during a dark match and saying cocky pricks.
Damn.
Somebody didn't like that he said cocky pricks. I'm guessing he was talking to the crowd, you know, doing the heel thing, and somebody didn't like that, and he got fired. So, I mean, even in a dark match, you know, house show or whatever, that, hey, man, it's PG. You can't say what you really want to say.
Well,
especially if it's cocky pricks. I mean, that's kind of like an oxymoron, you know, cock, prick, same thing.
Yeah.
Cocky pricks. I know the cocky has a different meaning than the prick, but the prick is still a dick. You know what I mean? So, but still, today they're so restricted that nobody wants to step out of the box. Even back when John Cena, you know, said that we know Randy Orton's an asshole and blah, blah, blah to this guy and this guy. And Randy Orton got pissed off at John Cena for saying that because it wasn't in the script. It wasn't part of the thing, you know. And then John Cena got reprimanded a little bit. He got yelled at, not really reprimanded, but, hey, you don't be doing that shit no more, you know, like that. But, I mean, with the PG era, you can't have the reality era.
You can't.
Because they're so confined in this box that if you try to escape the box, then that's your job. That you're fired. They told Nexus to come out and beat down everybody and destroy the everything, destroy the ring, destroy, you know, the setup and everything. Daniel Bryan gets fired for choking dude out with a tie.
Yeah.
He didn't know he couldn't do that. And then he spit on somebody at one point, you know, in the same, you know, thing, in the same little thing. He like, just spit. He was like, you can't spit on anybody either. So it was just like, wow, strike one and strike two automatically gave him strike three, and he got fired. But they brought him back, of course, you know. But yeah, man, there's so much that you can't do now, that it's hard to, in this business, in a business where you're promoting violence, basically, even though it's, you know, controlled violence, that words hurt worse than the violence stuff does. I know they got a no blood policy, and usually the only time somebody bleeds is when they're in the ring with Brock Lesnar, and it's usually Brock Lesnar.
Brock, but, like, I bleed. I am monster.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, seriously. But other than that, you know, any other cuts or anything, they're attended to, they're stapled up right there at ringside, and they continue, you know, the match and stuff. I was watching the Table for Three when Dean Ambrose was on the Table for Three, and he was like at Mania when he when he got powerbombed through the ladder.
Yeah.
His head hit and it busted him open. Mm. And the trainer comes over, the medical personnel comes over and staples him up right then and there. They thought he was going to get back into the match, get more involved in the match. They didn't know that that was it for him. So when he got backstage, they had to take those staples out and actually do it right, like do it for real. Instead of a quick fix job that they did out there, they had to redo it. So they had to pull the staples and then staple this shit again. And he was pissed off at that. He was pissed off about that. He was like, motherfucker, why didn't you just leave me alone and wait till I got backstage? And it was like, well, we thought you was going back in the match, so we had to take care of, you know, the PG thing. So, I mean, even with, you know, accidents that happen, they try to clean it up and fix it as quickly as possible so they can shoot around it or, you know, anything
edit
like
it
that.
Out or do whatever they need to do, yeah.
That they can keep it as, you know, PG as possible, which I still think is ridiculous. They at least need a 13 behind it so they can show some of this stuff, you know, and have a little bit, you know, crazier language. But yeah.
Well, I say it like this. When I'd say a roughly around 40%, if not 50, or if not plus 50% of your viewership of your universe is over the age of 25. You know what I'm saying? Like the WWE's following is a lot of, as far as their older people following, is a lot of people who used to watch back in the attitude era, some of who have watched throughout the years because they had children who grew up, you know, watching it towards the tail end of the attitude era, and they just kept watching it with their kids. You know, but a lot of the parents of these kids that are watching it with these kids are adults, and you know, as much as you want to be kid friendly, adults don't want to watch kid friendly programming. You know, yeah, they're okay with it. You know, a PG-13, you know, ranking something like that. But when you're giving me PG, you know, that'd be like me taking, you know, my girl out on a date to go see the Sesame Street movie. You know,
hey man,
like
Sesame Street movie was pretty good though.
Was okay, more, yeah, true.
PG than WWE is.
True, very true. Well, hell, the Scooby Doo WrestleMania movie was more PG-13 than PG.
Yeah, well, I think the Scooby Doo movie was when they was PG-13. They took the 13 off shortly after. They was like, it was PG-13, and then everybody was like, okay, that's not so bad. And then all of a sudden, it was like strictly PG. And I understand that they're in prime time, you know, in TV and whatnot. But you're on a cable station. You know what I mean? You're on a paid cable station, which prime time means shit. When it comes to the language and the violence and all that. I mean, there's more action and violence and death and killing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that come on early in the night, that come on before 8 o'clock, you know, that's in prime time. And I know for a fact there's kids around the damn world sitting down to watch that shit.
Mm-hmm. And that is the key thing to it, is that in other countries, really what is shown on WWE on WWE television is no worse than what is actually a lot lighter, would be considered, the Attitude Era stuff would be considered light compared to some of the stuff that's shown around the rest of the world on television. You know, nudity is not an uncommon thing on television around the world.
And if you look at it, the news ain't even PG. I mean, they show, you know, victims of gunshots, war victims, bombings, everything. Like, you know, hearts go out to all the, you know, people that have to deal with the terrorists and all that shit. But the news isn't even PG. You know what I'm saying? It's not even politically correct half the time. So, I mean, you know, WWE needs to loosen it up just a little bit. If they would go back to the PG-13, you know, I'm not saying go to TVMA. Saying that. I ain't saying, you know, show us, you know, tits flopping out all the time and you know, crazy.
Like this.
Getting his dick cut off by a samurai sword.
No.
Go that back to that. But there's a good medium that they could find that would allow the wrestlers to get back on the discussion that we started with to say what they feel and make the promos way better than just coming out, I gotta face, you know, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, you're fat. Well, that's about I can, you know, say to you, you're fat and you're Canadian and we don't like Canadians, so let's fight.
That's
the damn promos, you know.
Well, I was going to suggest also, because what they used to do with at the beginning of like the PG, like them kind of like trying to clean things up era, when Raw was 2 hours, the first hour of Raw used to be clean cut. And then the second hour of Raw was PG-13, and that's when you'd have The Rock come out and talk about smacking down their jabroni asses and all that stuff, and they get to using the bad words and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
you could use damn, ass, bitch. Stone Cold used son of a bitch every once in a while. That was at that tail end of that when they were kind of watering it down just a little bit. But even when The Rock came back and had his little feud with CM Punk and he called him a punk ass bitch, and CM Punk goes, "Oh, so we can say bitch now? So bitch, we can say bitch." you know, and those promos back and forth, which Punk had some leeway a little bit there. That was still at that time of PG-13 when it came out, and you know The Rock is pure attitude era anyway, so you wouldn't expect anything less than him to do that.
Yeah, cuss somebody out in a nice, funny way.
But yeah, man, they need to loosen up a little bit on it. Especially when SmackDown goes to the USA Network.
That's going to be interesting. That's only a few weeks away, you know, before they make their move back to Fridays and back to the USA, or over to the USA Network, I should say.
Yeah, since their sole product basically will be on the USA Network, I think that they need to amp it up just a little bit. Because if I'm not mistaken, USA used to be that, you know, this is the station for guys who like movies, you know.
Kind of like Spike International is.
Yeah, just like that. I mean, it is a cable thing. Even sci-fi is cable. There's more killing on Supernatural and Haven on the sci-fi channel. Haven comes on right after SmackDown, and they show somebody dead within the first 5 minutes of that show.
Oh, I guess it's okay though when you're showing like creatures dead. I don't fucking know.
No, these are people. These are people in Haven with troubles. For real.
No, I know.
They call it, you know, it's trouble. It's people. Edge has been shot many, many times on fucking Haven. He almost died a couple of weeks ago and barely survived it. I mean, shit, when you show people, you know, even killing themselves, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now, but he ended up killing himself, even though it wasn't himself. It was like two of him, you know?
Yeah.
Like twins, basically, and he kills one of them, but it was a dream sequence, you know? But still, mm-hmm. It was like right after SmackDown. I was like, how do I go from watching a kid's show to watching this on this, you know, on a cable station that allows this, but WWE itself won't allow it? It's a WWE thing. It's not any network type thing.
Oh, man. So after all we just talked about.
You can still do the don't be a bully and be a star and all that, and still be PG-13 and give us a little bit more adult situation type thing.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where I doubt, I'll say it like this, I doubt Raw will ever make it over to, outside of replays, Raw will ever make it over to the WWE network fully. I think we may get to a point where maybe their contract with Hulu runs out and they alter it to where you can get, you know, the episodes of Raw, the new episodes of Raw, like next day or within a couple of days, you know, on the WWE network after they air on USA. But I doubt that they'll ever get to a point where Raw is solely on the USA or solely on the WWE network and not on USA. But I think they may get to a point where SmackDown it only airs on the WWE network, depending on how the ratings do on USA.
I don't see it happening for Raw at all. But you know, the more time that goes by, the more, you know, internet and all that comes involved. Eventually, maybe you will have to pay your $9.99 a month to see any of the WWE product.
Yeah.
Other than maybe, you know, like Superstars on a Saturday Morning Slam or Saturday Morning Superstars or something like that.
Yeah.
But as long as they're getting, you know, good quality contracts from cable companies to air, and plus their ratings are, you know, pretty high. This week's ratings dropped under 3 million for the first time in a long time. I won't say since the Attitude Era, but compared to last year.
Well, that was one of the reports that I read that they said that they dropped below 3 million for the first time since the Attitude Era. I think it was It's Still Real to Us put up the article.
Okay, well I don't think it's been that long.
Okay.
Since they got under 3 million, because there's been plenty of Monday Night Football games that took away from WWE that could have dropped them under 3 million. But they started out with over 4 million and ended up with like 2.7 million, something like that. Which I think our show took a couple of million from them.
our Monday night show.
You know, that's what I'm blaming it on. I'm blaming it on our Monday night show taking the fans away.
They're busy listening to Tony Vargas.
From the main event, exactly. Yeah, they want to hear something from a real guy in the business instead of watching some scripted bull crap. Yeah, so it dropped, you know, this Monday for the first time, and I believe it was that cash-in. It was the Reigns winning the championship and then, you know, Sheamus cashing in right after it. The fans were all about Reigns, you know, they were celebrating with him, they were screaming and all that, and then all of a sudden, party's over.
Yep.
So people like, okay, let's see. You know, we seen that there. You know, on Monday night they were like, okay, Reigns wants his rematch tonight. Okay, yeah. Well, he's not gonna get that.
But, what reason do we have to tune in now?
But he will be facing Rusev and Sheamus will be in his corner, and nobody wanted to see that.
Yeah.
So that's when it started to drop off. It was just like, we all wanted to see what happened at first, to see where this, you know, where, you know, the show ended on Sunday night, where it begins on Monday, and where
yeah.
it could go on Monday. And they seen, people seen where it was going to go on Monday and go, we got other things we can watch. We can watch Monday Night Football. We can watch, Gotham. We can watch whatever, you know, is on at that time, in that time frame, or whatever it is. Supergirl even comes on Monday nights now. So you lose a lot of, you know, kids and even little girls that like Supergirl and superhero
yeah.
type stuff. So, I mean, you're going to lose a lot of fans if you don't give the fans what they want to see.
You know?
And what
you can
the
only
fans
screw the fans so well.
Yeah, exactly. And what the fans wanted to see was a rematch. Well, not even a full rematch, but at least, you know, him getting his title shot rematch. And when they seen that they didn't, wasn't going to do that, and seen how the show was going after the first hour, it was just like, there's other things coming on. We can DVR this and watch this later. You know,
mm-hmm.
this isn't the +3 ratings
yeah.
that we're talking about. And the +3 ratings, for y'all that don't know, is the 3 days DVR watches instead of just the nightly show. So those fans probably went back to their DVR and finished the show, you know, so their ratings were still, you know, their final ratings were decent, but as that show went on, it was just like, okay, what else is on right now? You know, who's in this match? What matches? You screwed us out of you also screwed us out of a triple threat tag team title match.
Title match, yep.
Could have happened.
Probably lost
so
a few more listeners or a few more watchers
viewers.
There.
It was just like one hit after another. So, when I seen the ratings, that's what I expected to see. It just dropped off because at every turn you were screwing the fans of what they wanted to actually see.
And that was what I was going to mention earlier. You can only say, and this has been a consistent thing with WWE for years, I'd say for about the past decade prominently, of knowing that the crowd wants a particular wrestler to get over, knowing that the particular wrestler is over with the crowd so much that the crowd wants to see him with a title around his waist, and then not giving, then teasing it and teasing it and teasing it and teasing it and making this 6 month payoff. Crowds become disinterested after about 3. Even with popularity, there was a certain drop off after about the 3 month point. I think it was after SummerSlam was like the 3rd consecutive month that they had fucked him over in some way from winning the World Heavyweight title, and people truly began to lose interest in the storyline itself. You know, so you can't drag these things out for hell of days. You know, you couldn't do it. They didn't. That's not how they ran it in the Attitude Era. You know, like, yeah, they gave us feuds, yeah. And I think there is a happy medium that was discovered there in the Attitude Era, because we don't have America in general, or the wrestling fan base in general doesn't have the attention span to follow a 6 month feud the way they used to.
Right.
So you got to find a happy medium of like 3 to 4 months where you give them the same type of feud that you would give them over 6 months, just over a 4 month period of time. Because like I said, the Daniel Bryan thing felt like, even though at the end there was this huge payoff at WrestleMania with him winning the title, it felt like it just dragged on too long. You know, and that's just what they seem to have an issue of doing now. Their feuds are either too short, they go away in like 3 weeks, or they're too long and they go on for 5-6 months when they really should.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They definitely need to find a good happy medium. I think 3 months, four tops as a feud. But you can't, like, screw somebody over, like, Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan or Dolph Ziggler the whole damn time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he had his little moment at Survivor Series. But then all of a sudden, bam, he got screwed over. So he's, like, back to square one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, wow, really? Still? Why? I mean, you could have gave him a run to TLC, had him in a match with whoever at that point,
yeah.
Whoever your heel of choice would have been, you know, instead of Sheamus cashing in, and then have Sheamus cash in then, or even, you know, say, okay, well, you know, our number one guy is Sheamus. Sheamus, you know, does a little storyline with the Authority. Rusev comes in, does a little storyline with the Authority. And then, you know, even have them feud and the cash-in still be available after the TLC. Like you really could have done so much more with that. But, I mean, I guess it did pay off because you did have over 4 million viewers, you know, for that Monday night. But then all of a sudden, after that first hour of getting screwed a few times, it just started dropping off and dropping off and dropping off. And there's so much entertainment out there to watch. If you're not consistently giving the fans what they want, or at least some of what they want, then they're going to go find something that fulfills that need of a hero winning, or, you know, a gangster movie that's on that, you know, is rarely on, or so anything and everything. There's, you know, shit, I got thousands of channels on my DirecTV. Don't be like fat bald Cole and have cable. Be like me with a lot of hair that has DirecTV. But yeah, that, I mean, there's so much out there that they've got to give the fans some of what they want. And Monday night, they did not deliver at all.
And the ratings reflected that.
Yeah, I can't speak for all of SmackDown because I was watching the Green Bay game and all that. But I did take away from the Green Bay game just to see the main event tonight. And that was a match I wanted to see. It had Tyler Breeze, Dolph Ziggler, and Dean Ambrose in a triple threat for the number one contendership for the Intercontinental Championship with Kevin Owens at commentary. Now, I could have done without Tyler Breeze being in there. I think I called him Drew Breeze just a second ago. Tyler Breeze. I got my mind on football right now. Tyler Breeze shouldn't have been in there. I'd have been happier with it being somebody else in there than Tyler Breeze. Even though I know he's got the feud going on with Dolph Ziggler, you know, and they kind of threw Dean Ambrose in the mix of that. Could have been better with somebody else in there. Even though it was a great match, it was definitely, you know, one of the top matches I've seen in a while. But I'm just not a Breeze fan at all. I don't like the character. I don't like him. I just don't like the whole scenario of him and Summer Rae and the VIP section that they put by the table. I don't like that. It's too much flash for not enough pop and bang. So, and he stole Christian's finisher.
What, the unprettier?
Yeah.
I
mean,
I noticed that.
it works for the character and all that because, you know, he's, you know, Prince Pretty, and he's supposed to make you ugly by the end of the match. But, nah, man, that's the Impala. That is Christian's Impala that they changed to the unprettier name later on. But that will always and forever be the Impala and Christian's move. And basically tonight you had a new Jake the Snake, a new Christian, and a new badass Billy Gunn in the main event.
Okay.
Because Dean Ambrose, finishing move, DDT.
Huh. Okay.
Tyler Breeze, finishing move, the famous or the Impala, aka
yeah.
Unprettier. Dolph Ziggler, one of his finishing moves is the Famouser.
Okay.
From Badass Billy Gunn.
Yep, Badass Man. You're right.
So it's like, really, guys? Really? I've seen this match before. I swear I did. No, because you never seen Jake the Snake in the same match as Christian.
Yeah.
He might have been in a match with Billy Gunn early in Billy Gunn's career, but that's how I looked at it when I was seeing these moves. I was like, okay, well, there, you know, there's the you know the Christian's move. There's Billy Gunn's move. And the match finishes with Jake the Snake's move. All right, cool.
There you go.
And I know there's only so many moves you could do and so many variations of the same moves and all that, but still, Dolph Ziggler's hair is just like Billy Gunn's hair was when he was doing it. It's just like a new version of Billy Gunn that's in there right now. And they all use super kicks, except Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose don't use super kick. But and fucking Breeze uses the super kick. I'm like, okay, well, that's Shawn Michaels' finishing move. Now y'all took the power away from the super kick. Even like the Young Bucks, they have the super kick parties where everybody super kicks everybody for like 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I super kick you, you go down. Somebody super kicks me, I go down. Then somebody else super kicks him, he goes down. And then it continues for like 5 minutes of super kick. It's like you took the power away from it. You take the power away from. That's one thing I am happy about is Dean Ambrose has the DDT, even though it's the double arm. You
Mick
know,
Foley
variation.
Style.
Yeah, it's the Mankind, the Mick Foley style. But at least it gave power to the DDT again.
Yeah.
Now you got to do like a tornado DDT off the the top rope or the middle turnbuckle, and they still kick out from that. Like, you take the power away from the DDT then. And the DDT, man, back in the day, a damn was a finishing move. A suplex was a finishing move. And I know how it's evolved so much that it takes the power away from some of these moves that shouldn't have the power taken away from them. Like, a super kick should knock you the fuck out. Straight up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it doesn't anymore. And it's just like, okay, well,
eh. I'll feel you, brother.
Like, even, what's his name? Seth Rollins did a super kick. He does a super kick when you're on your knees, and then he does a super kick when you stand up. So it's like, okay, if you're on your knees and somebody super kicks you, you should be knocked the fuck out for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should take your head off. You should be done. There should be no getting up from a super kick like that. But what happens? They always kick out of the one when he
they
kicks
always
him.
Get up. Yeah.
Kicks him on his knee. it's just my observation of the power being taken away from some of these moves that don't need the power taken away from them.
Yeah.
And Rusev does a jumping super kick It's almost like a sideways crane kick.
It's called a broad kick.
A broad kick is a crane kick, everybody. Like, Danielson taught him that.
Mm-hmm.
They were over in Japan at one point. They were, like, island of Okinawa. And Sheamus learned the broad kick. Even though I think Sheamus's broad kick is way more powerful than the goddamn crane kick. But it's that jumping, you know, one knee up, then the other leg comes up and takes you out. That's what Rusev does, but he does it as a super kick.
Yeah.
The broad kick to the side. The Ruru kick. But yeah, I just think that they've taken the power out of the moves, the power away from the moves, the power away from promos, and it's just so watered down now that you know it's hard to watch. It's hard to keep watching the same old. That's why I'm so happy that we will be in Fremont or Union City, Newark. Where are we gonna be? Newark.
At the Newark Pavilion.
We're gonna be in the vicinity of all three of them little fucking towns. South Oakland. See BTW live because we get pure wrestling out of it. And yeah, we'll see some kick outs out of certain moves. I mean, but you gotta keep up with the times. But it's gonna be more pure wrestling than this kick out every damn time. Type stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. It's a week from tomorrow. Damn it. If I was on the East Coast, it'd be a week from today.
Well, all right, man. That's going to do it for me for today. We didn't kill yet another show, and these folks just can't stop listening because we are the Raw Impact Unleashed, and we are the home of champions.
Five times. TRI Unleashed Champions.
Yes. Tag team champions.
Tag team championships we're going after. It's going to be BTW Tag Team Champions. Chaos Inc., we coming after you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just playing. Don't hurt us at the show. I forgot to mention that on the Monday show when we were talking about the triple threat with Chemo, Tony, and Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
That I was one of the ones that actually held Tony Bias down while he got a chop from Jeff Cobb in the stands. I was on the front row and I got up out of my chair to walk away because I thought they were going to use the chair. And they go, no. Come back, sit down, and hold him. So I came back, I sat down, and I held him while he took his shot. but that's me holding the Coca-Cola can. I don't even think I drank Coke. I think I kept that Coke and, like, gave it to somebody later on. Like, I don't even remember drinking it. I was drinking so much fucking alcohol and beer that it was just like, why did I even buy this Coke? I didn't expect to drink that night, but then the drink started coming, so I was just like, fuck it, let's get drunk. And at one point in that match, I took the Coke can, and I almost rolled it to Chemo because he was, like, knocked out of the ring over by my side, and I almost rolled it and was like, here, man, take a drink, get you some energy, you know, get you a sugar rush, and go in there and get him, like some Popeye and spinach and shit. I forgot to mention that to Tony. I forgot to tell him, hey, you know that was me? He knows it was me because he's liked the picture that got took and all that stuff. But, yeah, that was just a tidbit that I was like, oh, damn, I forgot to mention the chap. Because at first I was holding him down hard. Like, I was really holding him. And then by the time it was like my head clicked and was like, don't squeeze the shit out of his arm. And so by the time he took the stop, I wasn't even really holding it. I had my arms wrapped around his arm, but I wasn't even holding it.
Yeah.
And when he kind of, like, took his hit, I kind of took a hit, too. Like, I felt the reaction through him. So it was like, at first I was like, yeah, I got this motherfucker. Why am I holding you so tight? Like, this shit ain't real, but the chop was real as fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
all right, let's end it on that, man. BTW next Friday night. Can't fucking wait.
Be there, be square. Let's have some fun. All right, that's it. Roll credits. Go home.
Time to go.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck out of here.
Go home. We're having too good of a match. I don't want to go home right now, motherfucker. Get away from me.
Holy.
All right, y'all. I'll take it easy.
Get a bomb, brother. Get a bomb.